Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today on Let's Face the Issues broadcast. This is Dr. Youngblood. And as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not based on the authority of man or what man thinks or says, but what does the Word of God say in relationship to the issues that we're faced with? As we face issues each day, we do so. And as we do, we need to find the truth. And God's Word is truth. Jesus says to his disciples, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus made a declaratory statement about the Word of God when he said, "Thy Word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to look no further for truth than simply the within the covers of the Word of God. And yet we have a lot of people today that are searching for answers in life and answers for the direction in which they need to go, and they do so without going to the book that has the answers. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we think on the subject today, facing the issues with truth, we need to face the issues with truth and understanding of our constitutional republic and the representative form of government that we have. And I simply want to talk today about our constitutional rights and responsibilities to vote. We have that responsibility. In fact, tomorrow is the final day of voting. It's election day. March the 19th is the primary election day. Some of you perhaps have already voted. Multitudes have voted. I'm thankful for that. I understand the turnout's been less than 10% so far. I am praying that we'll have a greater number than that ultimately in our turnout for election tomorrow. But ladies and gentlemen, let's just face the facts. The battle against good and God is evident in the leadership from Washington to Jacksonville, Florida. You just look at what's happening in Washington with the anti-Semites that are there against the Jews and against Israel and outspoken about it. And then the retort from those that are doing so says that they do not have to have an allegiance to a nation or to a particular thing, that they can say as they please. But yet they were elected to go into office and to represent us, but they're not representing America with some of the things that they're saying. I'm talking about the two Islamic jihadists that we've elected in the House in Washington. And yet we're finding, ladies and gentlemen, a dereliction of responsibility of duty for an American citizen across the nation, whether it be on the federal level, the state level, or the local level. There's the dereliction of responsibility to seek out men that honor God, will honor our Constitution, and place them in office. Ladies and gentlemen, every conservative, every constitutionalist, every Christian must continue to pray and seek God's face as to what he would have us to do in relationship to the election. In this election that we're faced with in Duval County for Jacksonville, may I remind us, our nation and that which we do in the election of those that are representing us will make a determination of where we're going in the future. We need to continue to pray for our nation, continue to pray for our city and state. We need to actively qualify, elect men that stand for truth, that stand for with conviction, and stand for commitment to our constitutional republic, and stand for God's word. We need to have men, ladies and gentlemen, that will stand for what I have simply called faith, family, and the future of our city, state, and America. We, the people, cannot make the mistake of electing those who do not represent America and are not honoring our Constitution. In fact, I've said for years, if you'd let me just interject this little thought, I've said for years that every elected person, whether it be the House of the Senate in Washington or the House of the Senate in Tallahassee or the City Council in Jacksonville, Florida. Every bill that comes before every elected person must be scrutinized under two lights, the light of God's Word and the light of our Constitution. Is it honoring to God in God's Word for that particular bill? Is it honoring God through our Constitution for that particular bill? And that's what I think we ought to do, and yet we find that it's not taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you can dial 401-1413, join in the dialogue and discussion that we're having today. And may I remind us also that we are talking with Don Redman. Don is the candidate, the conservative candidate, the committed candidate for Group 4 at large in the city. And Don is with us today, and I'm thankful that he's taken time out of his waving signs, knocking on doors, and getting out to meet we the people in the grassroots efforts to win this election. I'm thankful that he's taken time out today to come to our microphone and let's have this discussion. Don, I am thankful that you're here. I'm thankful for what you're doing. I'm thankful that you're willing to take the time away from your business and your family and will do what is necessary to let the people know who you are and what you're doing. Don is the conservative candidate, ladies and gentlemen, for Group 4 at large, and he's with us today on Let's Face the Issues. Don, welcome to our broadcast today.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I thank you for your stand. I thank you for allowing me to come on your radio show and tell people about myself. I am a candidate for City Council Group 4 at large. The at large means anywhere in Duval County, you can vote for me. My name will be on your ballot. There's three of us running on that ballot, Group 4. I'll be the last one on that, so pick me out.
And so look down 1, 2, 3 before you
vote. 1, 2, 3,
right?
Don Redman. So I am a very conservative. I'm a Christian. I stand for family values, for Christian values. I served 8 years on the city council, took a strong stand against the HRO, took a strong stand on issues that concern the citizens of Jacksonville. I made myself available for any time anybody wanted to talk to me, anytime anybody wanted to call me, come by and see me. I have a small business where people can come in and talk to me on a regular basis. I tell people that, I have a barbershop. I'm a barber. I cut hair. I also have a beauty shop. What problems we don't solve in the barbershop, I tell people we solve all the city problems right there in the barbershop. I have preachers that come in. I have lawyers that come in. I have everybody from the ditch digger to the person out here laying carpet in somebody's house. So I have a full gamut of intelligent people that each has a concern, and everybody has a different opinion as to how things should be done. But I do listen. God gave me two ears and one mouth for a reason. That's to listen twice as much as I talk. I try to solve problems. I did that for 8 years. I worked on issues that sometimes they said couldn't be done, and worked them out with people that were willing to work with the city. Sometimes the city makes it so difficult to get things done that it doesn't happen because too much paperwork, too much red tape,
too much bureaucratic
red tape involved. But that can be worked out if you have a council person that is willing to work with you and reach out to the person that handles that and get it done. So I'm here today to ask for your vote. I am working hard. I have been out waving signs this morning, as a matter of fact.
That's good.
And meeting people. We have some great people in the city of Jacksonville. I serve as an usher in my church. I greet people every weekend at church, and we have great people. We have a lot of good Christian people in Jacksonville. And if they will get out and vote, I should win. So sometimes it's like pulling teeth. It's hard to get them out.
But you mentioned about the barbershop, and while you're sitting in the barbershop, there's a lot of conversation that can take place about what's happening in the city and what's best. I recall when you spent 8 years on city council before, we had some major issues to come up. There were moral, ethical issues, the HRO, That's the human reprobate ordinance. Now, of course, they call it the human rights ordinance, but it's a special exception for the pedophiles, the perverts, and the ones that want to go into ladies' bathrooms and dressing rooms and shower rooms and so forth. But, Don, you'd almost gained the title on city council as Dr. No, because there's so many things that were morally and ethically wrong that you said, no, no, no.
That's right. Clay Yarborough and myself were known as Dr. No. And by the way, Clay is supporting me in my campaign. He's a good Christian friend as well, and serving as a state representative in Tallahassee. So I'm thankful for that. The HRO, which is it is causing problems in our city right now, because the city council that is there right now passed this. After we defeated it, we fought hard and defeated it when I was on the city council. Came back up again when, Tommy Azuri brought it up and had a big battle over it. People sold their souls for the devil.
Yeah, and as Tommy is a major Democrat. Linking arms with our mayor as a Republican, and yet on Tommy's ads, he talks about how he brags about the fact that he is the one that pioneered the special rights for this LGBTQ group in our city. He brags about that.
He's proud of it, yes.
So, Don, the question is, are families safe in Jacksonville with the LGBTQ open bathroom policy, allowing perverts and pedophiles and the predators into the ladies' bathrooms and shower rooms and locker rooms? Do you feel that our citizens are safe in Jacksonville with that?
This is a slippery slide. Our ladies are not safe going into the women's bathroom when you have a man that might dress as a woman or say as a woman, and with this ordinance, he has a right to go in whatever bathroom he wants to go. That is not good. It's not healthy. It's not safe. It's immoral.
Immoral.
One of the things that bothers me the most about this ordinance is our children. I see our children. I'm a school advisory chair at one of our local high schools, and all the area feeder schools that feed into that high school. And we have people from the health department that come and teach our children that homosexuality is normal, and teach them that how to prevent disease and how to have safe sex. This is wrong. But this is a slippery slide that we are into because of this ordinance. And my goal, if I get elected, is to try and get this and work towards getting this on the ballot. Let the citizens decide what kind of city that they want. You know, do you want a city that is controlled, that the gay pride parade comes bigger than the Veterans Day parade? I don't think so. This is not what we need in our city.
And yet, Don, if I'm not mistaken, your key opponent in this race stands 100% for this immoral, this ungodly, this family unsafe ordinance, and will expand it given the opportunity. Is that correct?
He says he will do whatever he has to do to give every right and every extra right to the homosexual community. And this is where we're headed.
Well, back in 2012, he told me face to face in the rotunda of City Hall, he said, Dr. Youngblood, I will do anything. I will pass any law. I will do anything to protect this group of people because my brother is one.
That's exactly what he told me. And, he fought hard along with those on the city council that wanted it, that are there now. And you need to remember the ones that are on the city council now that are running for re-election when you go to vote. Where they stood on that issue, because it is a detrimental issue that's going to affect our city for a long time to come. And there are people out there running to replace some of those that would take a stand against it, would help me put it on the ballot to let you decide what kind of city you want for the citizens of Jacksonville.
Very simply put, ladies and gentlemen, if a candidate stands for the HRO, that's the candidate that we need to remove from office. Simply put, if you're saved, if you're conservative, if you're concerned about your mother, your wife, your sons and daughters and grandkids, if you're concerned about them, you'll vote those folks out of office, and you'll vote no on those that are running for office that stand for that issue. If for nothing else, Don, I believe that we need to honor God and recognize that to do this honors God to say no to any HRO candidate. Am I correct?
Or you're absolutely correct. And if you don't know who these candidates are, there are some information out that some of our churches have passed out. But if you're concerned about it and can't find out, call me.
Absolutely.
I'm going to give you my phone number at the end of this.
Tell them now.
My phone number, 904-626-9307. Feel free to call me, and I will inform you as to who are the people that would support this and the ones that would not support this.
Don, let's switch gears just briefly. We know that we have a major crime problem in our city, and I understand that there's some fictitious numbers that's out in the marketplace in Jacksonville that says crime has been reduced, that burglaries and robberies and rapes and murders have been reduced. And I understand the manifestation of that and how it works. You just change the categorization of how you categorize crime, and it will make all of the numbers look down. But in reality, we have a major crime problem in our city. Am I correct on that?
We have a major crime problem. We have a major gang problem. We have a major drug problem. We do not have the people that we need to handle this. I serve on a sheriff's watch program, and I go to meetings once a month with three different zones that I go to their meeting. And this is the same thing over and over again. Not enough people to handle the job, to handle the traffic situations, handle the drug situation, and the murder situation. And to get a handle on this, we need in the political season, you hear figures that make it sound good, because if you're running for re-election, you need the numbers to look good that you're doing your job and you have what you need. The mayor says he's giving them all the money they need to hire all the people they need, but they're not getting the job done. We do not compare with other cities the size of Jacksonville when you look at the boots on the ground at doing the work. I talk to policemen. I have a lot of friends on the police department, customers on the police department, everywhere from chiefs right on down. And I hear the same thing over and over again. We're doing the best we can with what we have to work with. We have good equipment. We have everything we need, but we do not have the boots on the ground to handle the job.
Absolutely. And Don, when you look at it, we've got 840 square miles in Jacksonville. And when you look at the number of police officers we have, I'm told authentically that we have one police officer for every 10,000 citizens. Simply not enough police officers to police our city, the size of it, and to keep us safe. In fact, here in the Mandarin area, just speaking of the area that we're in the Mandarin area, if there's an accident, if there's a problem, if there's a home invasion, whatever it may be, 45 minutes to an hour, police officer will show up. It's not the police officer's fault. It is simply because they're undermanned. So let me ask you a very pointed question, Don. When elected to city council, would you be willing to spearhead a resolution or a bill that will authorize the cost for putting another 100 police officers on the streets in Jacksonville?
I certainly would. I would, I'd work with the sheriff and sit down with him and determine just what are the numbers that you need to get this job done, and hopefully get an answer that a correct answer, and then work from there to appropriate the money to hire those people. That's the only way we're going to feel safe in Jacksonville. We have to.
The sheriff said approximately a year ago that we have 30 gangs in Jacksonville. Yes. And he's doing a good job. He's doing the best job he can with the funds that's been allocated through city council for the police officers. But if you've got a gang problem, how do we approach the so-called gang problem in Jacksonville if we're short police officers? We can't do it.
We can't. And
so, Don, what do you think of the – I'm looking at it twofold. What are the two major causes of the gang problem in our city?
Lack of Well, the two major causes of lack of parental input into these children. I'm in the schools with the school advisory committee, and I see these kids that come, and we also have a resource center where we have children that get in trouble and are looking for help. But gangs in our school, they're in all our schools.
Would you say, Don, and I don't want to butt in on your statement, but I need some clarification for our listeners. If we've got gang problems, you say it's a family problem. It goes back to the fatherless homes, and the fatherless homes, as a result of the financial help that's offered by the city and state and the federal government, that they say, all right, Mom, you've got two kids, five kids, whatever it may be, we'll send you this check each month, but the dad cannot be in the home. We have caused it from a governmental standpoint. But even greater than that, Don, we're allowing pot shops on every street corner in our city. As city councilman, what will you do to try to stem the growth and the development of the pot shops? Because these gangs, in my most humble opinion, are as a result of getting these gangs having illegal guns in their hands, and as a result of having pot available to them, and as a result of wanting more of the pot, they use the illegal guns they've gotten by breaking in cars and stealing them from homes, etc. And so it causes the gang problem for drugs and for money to get more drugs. What can you do as a city councilman? Can you pass a resolution? Can you author a bill that will in some way control these pot shops?
Most certainly. I mean, there are ordinances already for pot shops. The gambling places shouldn't be close to a school, shouldn't be close to a church. The problem is these get changed. They file for a variance, and the city council that we have gives them a variance. Unless you have somebody that's willing to stand up and hold people accountable, to stand up for the ordinances that we have in place that don't allow these pot shops, supposedly within a thousand or more feet from a school, from a church, where they won't be readily available for every child that's out here on the street. It's out of control. The people with the money are able to get things done.
Well,
they put the money in the right places.
Absolutely. The problem is we have so many political leaders that's willing to accept money in the coffer for re-election in order to turn their heads and to get a vote. Don, let's make a transition. The Landing, that is Downtown Landing, the inner city mall right there on the waterfront, wonderful landmark. The Landing is in chaos. I understand they just had a committee meeting and making the determination whether or not to authorize the expenditure of the $15 million to the developer that's in there now. And they're talking about tearing it down and making a park. Tell us about the Landing. What is the problem? What brought us to where we are? And what is the correct answer, not a political answer? What should we, the citizens, because after all, it's the taxpayers' money. So tell us about the Landing, good, bad, and indifferent. What should we do with the Landing, and how should we be viewing that, and what will you do as a city councilman?
Well, as a city councilman for 8 years, I discussed the Landing many times with Tony Slayman, and Tony had some good ideas of what he projected and he had for the Landing. He was willing to build another building, tear it down, and build a building for condos and a storefront along the bottom. And looked like it would have been a nice facility at his expense. And it became a political thing with the current mayor. Tony supported the wrong guy in the election this last time, so he was on the outs with the mayor. And from that point on, they were determined to get the Landing back, take it away from him, and Tony had a hard time with the Landing, basically because the contract that was made when he bought that, he signed a contract and he was supposed to get parking that he did not get. So that became a handicap the whole time that he had the property, and up to this day, he has not had the ample Landing parking that he needed to serve the customers, the people that wanted to come to the landing.
He said he was to build a 5-story parking garage there for the benefit of the citizens downtown, including the landing. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that the city did not do it.
It goes back to,
ladies and gentlemen, what you're hearing with interviewing, ladies and gentlemen, Don Redmond. Don is the candidate for city council. Group 4 at large. The election is tomorrow, the 19th. Vote Don Redmond, city council, group 4 at large. But, Don, we're talking about the landing, and they're talking about tearing it down and building a city park. Do we need another city park in Jacksonville?
We don't need we have more parks in Jacksonville than any other city in the state. And we can't maintain the parks that we have. We do not need another city park, especially in the downtown area. We have, if you look at the parks we have, they become a place for the homeless to hang out.
Homeless, the potheads, and the drug addicts, and those that are selling.
That's right. I mean, people are not going to go to a downtown park with their family to enjoy themselves if you got vagrants hanging around and asking for money. It's not going to happen. There's a lot of things that can be done with that park, with that property. City owns the property. So, you know, my fear is that it'll be passed off to, and, you know, the power brokers that want to develop downtown. My fear is that it'll be passed off to them. And
that seems to be the handwriting on the wall now.
But we don't need a park there. We definitely need to put it on a tax roll, let somebody come and put something there that would be feasible for the city. Myself, I mean, I like the old building myself. I mean, I think it could be restored, and we have refused to tear down other buildings in downtown Jacksonville because they, all of a sudden, have some historic value. To a lot of people, that building has, I've had several people say, well, that, you know, has a lot of history there. We had presidential candidates in that building. We've had all kinds of people make speeches from the riverfront there at the landing. So it has a history in itself.
It goes back to the early 80s when the Rouse Company came into Jacksonville, negotiated the lease on the land.
That's right.
And built a building. Yeah. That building could be rehabbed and the parking garage put there, as the city promised 15, 20 years ago, and make it a thriving inner city mall again.
Yes.
Don, we've got just a few minutes left on the broadcast. Speak to the fact that when elected, I'd like to our listeners to hear, give just point form, three things that you want to be responsible for instituting, instigating, and starting that you feel would be beneficial and a blessing and help for our city once you're elected as city councilman.
Well, of course, public safety is what you hear when talking to people out here. That's the main thing. So, you know, to get people to get the sheriff what he needs to work with, the people that he needs to work with to make the citizens safe in Jacksonville. Infrastructure, our river, I have a lot of concerns about the river. I served 7 years on the Waterways Commission, so I've learned a lot about the river and the needs of the river, and it could be a great asset to our city if we would just use it more. But there again, you have so many controls over the river that it can't be used by the average citizen out here the way it should be. The communication between the public out here and our city government is very poor. I hear on a regular basis where you cannot get in touch with your city councilman or the administration, the mayor and his office. I commit and always have committed to be available and to listen. I will try my best to accomplish things that, you know, the needs of the citizens of Jacksonville. The moral issues are very important to me. The homosexual issue, the HRO, needs to be done away with. We need to protect our children. The issue of our, we can work together with our schools. A city councilman and a school board member can work together to save the taxpayers money. They can work together to keep our kids in school and off the street. We've done that before. I proposed a out of school suspension program to keep the kids from being put out on the street before, and that's been done away with.
So, Don, let me interject this thought. We've got just a few seconds left on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. Your opponent seems to stand with the power brokers of Jacksonville. Does this mean that he will simply be told how to vote and what to do on serious issues rather than voting for what is best for the citizens?
That's exactly right. He's supported by the power brokers, the same people that the power brokers that, and if you look at donations to his campaign, the power brokers of the city of Jacksonville, same ones that supported the HRO movement, put a lot of money into getting that passed. They put a lot of money into his campaign.
And it's the same power brokers, Don. As I understand it, there's a billboard on the north side of the city, and the billboard plainly says, defeat Trump and Curry and vote for Anna Broche. Now, that's the same type of power brokers that's behind your opponent. But vote for Don Redmond, a Group 4 at large city council, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening today. Looking forward to meeting you on there even tomorrow as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.